Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby. Who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed? Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
Here's just a sample of this month's bonus episode, which you can get by signing up for What Fresh Hell Plus at whatfreshhell.supportingcast.fm. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this bonus episode of What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. This is Margaret.
And this is Amy. And today we're talking about the worst jobs we ever had. Not parenting.
I will say,
we love parenting.
Yeah, parenting is not my worst job, but I will say that all the jobs that I've had that are not podcasting with Amy Wilson have kind of stunk. Like, I mean,
horrible.
I'm glad this isn't called the best jobs. They've been horrible, basically. I mean, even the jobs I kind of wanted, I mean, I laugh all the time that there's an old joke in freelance writing where it's like, oh my God, I got to get a job. Oh my God, I got to get a job. And then you get a job and it's like, I don't want to write something. And that's kind of how I always felt about, like, I would get a job and be like, write the Bratz movie. That sounds like a terrible thing to do.
It sounded like a great idea until it happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I wanted a job so badly. Amy, what was your first ever job? I actually know the answer. Can I play I Know Amy Wilson So Well?
Sure. Sure.
You were a 13-year-old church secretary, correct?
I was 14, but yes, when I was 14 years old, and this was not my worst job. I loved this job. I worked 3 days a week after school. At the church rectory, I'd answer the phones starting at like 4 o'clock because the other secretary was going home at 5. She was, you know, putting the cover over her typewriter and stuff. And then
the dust jacket over the typewriter,
yeah.
People.
And so I would track.
The oldie timey days.
I would track who gave what for the collection. And during Catholic Mass, they pass around like a basket at one point and collect. You don't give money once a year. You give money sort of every week. And I would track that, which is a lot for a 14-year-old. And I also typed the bulletin that you get every Sunday. Like, I can't believe they had me in charge of the stuff. And then I answered the phone and I answered the door. And and the priests had a cook come in and cook for them. Like a really... Not a chef. She was like a really good cook, a woman who lived like down the street. She'd come in and cook, and I would have like gourmet meals with the priests who were, it was just like having like six grandfathers. They wanted to know everything about what was going on at school, who said what to who. They'd come to see me in plays and bring me flowers. Like it was like the best job ever.
Do you remember what your salary was at this job?
$3 an hour.
Yeah. $3. I was going to say that tracks.
Dollars.
I remember having a babysitting job once, and I babysat all the time, and I made $2 an hour as a babysitter. And I once went for 7 hours to someone's house. Like, it was like 4 p.m. So I played with the kids all afternoon. Then I made them dinner. Then I hung out with them until got them down, gave them baths, put them down at whatever, 11 o'clock at night. And I definitely remember the parents coming in and handing me $14 cash and thinking, this isn't it. Whatever's going on, this isn't it. Like, for $2 an hour, I don't know what I was ever thinking. What a ridiculous rate of pay. I mean, it was like the 80s. I mean, but $14, like I couldn't even buy a top at Limited Express. Like, what was I doing with my life? And I definitely... at that point was like, I got to get out of the game. Like, I don't know a lot about economics, but I know that $14 after the amount of harrowing work I have put in chasing around 3 kids for 7 straight hours, this is not worth it.
I was just thinking about this yesterday. Like, being an oldie locks has its privileges, right? I was listening to It was an episode of Maintenance Phase, and they were talking about how Elizabeth Taylor, okay, so I won't get too off track, but Elizabeth Taylor was a child movie star, and she was making $15,000 a year for Warner Brothers. But one of the hosts was like, so I looked this up, that's actually $660,000 in today's cash. So she was actually like fabulously wealthy. I'm like, but was she though? Like, did $15,000 ever sound like a lot of money? Like, sure, $2 when we were kids is worth like maybe $12 now, or I know, who knows, but $2 still sounds like $2, doesn't it? Like, it sucks now, and it sucked. Yeah,
it's
a
great point. You can, if you want to quit the podcast and pursue a PhD in economics, I feel I would read this thesis statement. Like, because $2, I would like to know, like in 1985, what is $2 in today's money? It can't be that much. Maybe it's five. No. I don't know what it is. But it wasn't enough to buy anything I wanted. $14.
Yeah.
So I got out of the game, and I moved on up to Baskin-Robbins Scooper.
Okay. And was that a best or worst job you've ever had? Which side of the fence is that?
It was a neutral job. It wasn't a great job. It was easy. I always like, as you know, interacting with strangers and weirdos. And so I like yes. a customer-facing job in a weird way.
What's your deal?
And I was, whatever, 17. So nobody really like screamed or yelled at me, and there was always a manager on duty, so I didn't have a lot of like, if there was trouble, it was someone else's problem. My only
flavors.
Job was basically like scoop the ice cream.
You have 31 flavors, and it wasn't your problem if there were only 29 flavors that day. Just like look at the board, it's not your fault.
And also talk to the manager, like I'm 16.
Who's here?
Like, I don't know anything.
right.
I did get into making ice cream cakes. I can still write on my kids. The funny thing about having a job when you're a kid is sort of like, we've talked about this, like, when does the mom come? Like, mm-hmm. you think that there's like an artisan in the back who writes Happy Birthday, Amy on the cake, right? Like, they're not just going to hand me, a rando 16-year-old, the piping bag and be like, start writing Happy Birthday, Amy. Like, certainly that's a skilled labor job that you outsource. No, they just handed me the piping bag and they were like, do your best.
Oh my gosh.
So writing Happy Birthday Amy was my job. And I took a lot of pride. I would put the little flowers on. I mean, I know my way around a piping bag at this point.
That just reminded me, like it just awakened a like terrible job memory, you know, the things that I've repressed from the terrible jobs I've had. As a struggling actor, I had many. You know, I had like two jobs a week and maybe random. And I did all kinds of stuff, and the birthday cake decorating thing. I just remembered this. I was working for a company doing sort of like live performances, like, you know, Santa in malls kind of shows. And sometimes I was in the shows and sometimes it was like, can you please call the Mall of Utica and see what time they want us to be there? And can you type this rider? Like, I just was doing it all. And at some point we were doing a live event.
The glamour of show business.
Right. The glamour of show business. And at some point we were preparing for a live event, and the woman who I was working for is like, you do calligraphy, right? And like, I had done calligraphy, as in like my parents brought me a calligraphy pen for Christmas. Like,
let me just give you again
a moment.
Here's a Wayback Machine. Every kid, every female child in the 80s did calligraphy.
Calligraphy,
every single
right.
one.
Right, every single one.
Calligraphy
right.
pen, and then you would get a book where you would trace the letters in calligraphy.
Yeah.
So yes, I really made some unsightly wedding invitations in the day because my mom would be like, Meg does calligraphy. And then,
right.
yeah,
like,
let me
kind
tell
of.
You.
Right. It was like bullet
just
journaling.
Just because you own the pen doesn't mean you do calligraphy, people.
So they handed me the pen, and it was for, I remember, I'm remembering more as I'm telling the story. It was for the Waldorf Astoria. I remember this because here's a trivia for you. It's actually the Waldorf like equals Astoria. It was back then. It was two lines, two hyphens on top of each other, like an equal sign. Waldorf equals Astoria.
No.
And I had to do calligraphy. And so, yeah, so I'm doing it. I'm doing like filling out certificates and whatever with people's names. And I remember like, this is not going well. Like I am relying on my old mediocre calligraphy, distant, you know, decade old abilities, trying desperately to awake them and knowing it's not going well. And then the look on my boss's face when I handed those certificates to her. And she was like, I thought you did calligraphy. I'm like, I did. I did do calligraphy. I'm eager to please.
You're like, look at the clock, lady. It's the 1980s. Everybody does calligraphy. It doesn't mean we're good at it.
God, no, this was more like 2000. Well, it wasn't 2000. It was probably like 1995. Like, I definitely like hadn't thought about this in several years at this point. Oh boy, I overpromised. So that was one of the worst jobs I've
ever had. Yeah, I also got roped into doing, yeah, some wedding invitations. And there was a complicated, do you remember this? You'd take a ruler and like in pencil, you would draw the calligraphy lines because you needed a top and a bottom and a dotted middle line.
Sure, sure.
And let me tell you, these were unsightly. Then I would erase the lines in the calligraphy. I mean, some poor bride was cried herself to sleep when she saw these invitations that I did. We don't usually focus on learning in the bonus episodes, but one thing you should take from this is if someone says they do calligraphy, ask follow-up questions. Ask to see an example of their work.
Right, right, because they might be, this is the worst job you ever had episode, worst calligraphers we ever were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was my big high school job. Was I did make really outrageous like sundaes and cakes for my friends who came in.
Mm.
I once tried to make a cake that had all 31 flavors. Didn't turn out great because you don't want the sorbet right next to the mint chocolate chip. Like, it doesn't actually taste good. No. But I did it. Was just a sample of our bonus episode. To hear the entire thing, go to whatfreshhell.supportingcast.fm and sign up for What Fresh Hell Plus today.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
Oh, hey, everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And this is our new podcast, Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. What happens when your creative spark just seems to disappear?
Gone.
Poof.
Bye.
See ya. What happens when life gets in the way of your creativity instead of nourishing it? That's what happened to Molly and me. We felt like the thing that drove us creatively stopped working and impending doom had in fact impended.
Totally. So we decided to do something about it. And that was steal ideas about getting unstuck from the most creative people we can find. We talked to guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
And we're not just talking Bob Ross type paint on paper artists here, though we talk to them too. We're talking to actors, creative directors, dancers, and people who are working hard to be their best creative selves in a world that can sometimes feel real uncreative.
We all have something to teach each other, so let's steal their ideas together.
Join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom. Pandemics, school calendars,
world events, lack of sleep. Oh, get out of their life gunk.
And let's get back to your best creative self. Subscribe to Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
You're not going to want to miss an episode.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking.